Welcome to Learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the program, we have stories from Ashley Thompson, Mario Ritter, and Dorothy Gundy. Phil Durking and Alice Bryant will bring us the education report. And Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
U.S. President Donald Trump is set to meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping this week for talks expected to focus on trade and North Korea. The meeting will be held Thursday and Friday at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in the southern U.S. state of Florida. Trump was highly critical of China during his presidential campaign and has continued to make strong statements in office. He has accused China of unfair trade practices and undervaluing its currency. Chinese officials have said they do not want a trade war to break out over possible changes in U.S. trade policies. Last week, Trump tweeted that his upcoming meeting with Xi would be a very difficult one. He said the U.S. can no longer have massive trade deficits and job losses. This is in keeping with the president's pledge after taking office to put America first in many policies, including trade and foreign affairs. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer noted several other big problems between the U.S. and China. He cited Chinese activities in the South China Sea and the North Korean nuclear dispute.
There are big issues of national and economic security that need to get addressed. And I think there's going to be a lot on the table when it comes to that over the 2 days that they will talk.
China has warned the U.S. not to get involved in its disputes with other nations over the South China Sea. Chinese officials have also strongly condemned the deployment of the American-built THAAD anti-missile system in South Korea. The deployment came after North Korea carried out a number of missile tests. Many security experts believe China will have to be an important partner with Washington in efforts to make progress on North Korea. In an interview with Britain's Financial Times newspaper, Trump noted that China has great influence over North Korea. While he hopes China will cooperate on North Korea, he said if Beijing is not willing to help resolve the problem, we will. Trump also warned that if North Korea's fast-advancing nuclear and missile capabilities are allowed to continue, it won't be good for anyone. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley urged China to take steps to show it is serious about North Korea and stop making excuses that they're concerned too. They need to show us how concerned they are. They need to put pressure on North Korea. The only country that can stop North Korea is China, Haley told ABC Television's This Week. Economic sanctions and international negotiations have failed over the years to persuade North Korea to stop its missile building and nuclear development. It is possible that Trump will seek a deal with Xi that involves both trade and security issues, According to Bong Yong-shik, a professor of North Korean studies at Yonsei University in Seoul.
So the question is whether Washington is willing to and able to make concessions, giving Beijing enough incentives so that Chinese government will make fundamental shift in its dealing with leadership in Pyongyang.
In the Financial Times interview, Trump said trade will be the main incentive the U.S. will use in negotiations with China. Last month, during a visit to South Korea, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said all options regarding North Korea were being considered, including possible military action. I'm Brian Lynn.
During his campaign for the presidency, U.S. President Donald Trump said he would not collect the yearly $400,000 presidential salary. On Monday, the president followed through with his promise. Trump gave the money he has earned so far as president to the U.S. National Park Service. The donation totaled $78,333.32. Trump is the third U.S. president to have rejected a salary. John F. Kennedy and Herbert Hoover were the others. Both were extremely wealthy men like Trump. Trump's press secretary, Sean Spicer, announced the first of Trump's donations during a daily press meeting Monday. Spicer presented the donation, in the form of a large check, to Interior Department Secretary Ryan Zinke. The National Park Service is part of the Department of the Interior. Standing next to Zinke was Tyrone Brandyburg. He is superintendent at Harper's Ferry National Historical Park in West Virginia. Zinke said in a statement that Trump's gift will be used to help repair national battlefields and military parks within the National Park Service. These historic places tell the story of conflicts that helped shape our country's history, Zinke said. I'm honored to help the president carry out his love and appreciation for our warriors and land. However, critics say that Trump's donation to the National Park Service is small compared to the amount of money that it and the Interior Department as a whole may lose under Trump's proposed budget. His plan would cut $1.5 billion from the department, or 12% of its total budget. The National Park Service says it needs almost $12 billion to pay for long-needed repairs to many of its more than 400 sites. Zinke said Monday that we're about $229 million behind in deferred maintenance on our battlefields alone. The National Park Service operates 25 sites that are considered battlefield parks or sites and military parks. Among the most popular is Pennsylvania's Gettysburg National Military Park, the site of the bloodiest battle of the Civil War. More than 1 million people visit that park each year. I'm Ashley Thompson.
American airplane maker Boeing says it has reached a deal to sell 30 aircraft to an Iranian airline. The $3 billion sale of passenger aircraft is the second deal the American aerospace company has reached with an Iranian airline. Boeing announced the latest deal with Asiman Airlines on Tuesday. Last December, Iran Air agreed to buy 80 Boeing passenger planes in a deal worth $16.6 billion. The deals were made possible by an agreement signed by Iran and six world powers, including the U.S. The deal limited Iran's uranium enrichment activities in an effort to keep the country from developing nuclear weapons. In exchange, many trade and financial sanctions on Iran were lifted. In a statement, Boeing says the deal is expected to create or sustain 18,000 jobs. Boeing would look to the Office of Foreign Assets Control for approval of the sale. The office is part of the United States Treasury Department. During the campaign for president, United States President Donald Trump was strongly critical of the Iran deal. But Trump has also said creating jobs is a main concern for his administration. If the deal is approved, Asiman Airlines is expected to start receiving the airplanes in 2022, according to Boeing. I'm Mario Ritter.
Most people would say they disapprove of breaking rules. But one highly respected university in America is offering a big prize for exactly that. The Media Lab at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge will award $250,000 to an individual or a group for breaking rules. One condition, however, the disobedience must help society. The MIT Media Lab is seeking nominations for candidates from all over the world. The best candidates are doing or have done difficult and important work that is not always recognized. The award is open to people in all fields, including science, politics, law, journalism, medicine, and human rights. The Media Lab is looking for rule breakers who have taken a personal risk to help society. The award is the first of its kind at the school. Joey Ito directs the Media Lab at MIT. He says, "You don't change the world by doing what you're told." But he says he is not suggesting people break laws or rules without reason. Sometimes we have to go to first principles and consider whether the laws or rules are fair and whether we should question them, he says. Ito suggests that history shows disobedience has served society. The American civil rights movement wouldn't have happened without civil disobedience. India would not have achieved independence without the pacifist but firm disobedience of Gandhi and his followers. The Boston Tea Party, which we celebrate here in New England, was also quite disobedient. Media Lab says the award will not support acts of violence, terrorism, or dangerous behavior. Reid Hoffman is an entrepreneur and co-founder of the social network LinkedIn. He is donating the $250,000 in prize money. The nominating period will be open until May 1st. Anybody may nominate an individual or group for the award. Self-nomination is not permitted. Nominations will be accepted on the MIT Media Lab Rewarding Disobedience webpage. Media Lab will present the winner or winners with the prize at a ceremony July 21st. A short list of candidates will be announced before the event in Massachusetts. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
This is what's trending today. You can now follow the bears in California's Yosemite National Park online. No, that does not mean the bears now all have Twitter profiles, but they are connected to the internet via satellite. They have their own website. It is keepbearswild.org. The park has about 500 bears within its borders, and last year had over 5 million visitors. Now, about 20 bears are wearing collars with GPS trackers. You can follow their movements on a map of the park. But if you go looking for them, you probably will not find the bears. For both the safety of the bears and people, there is a delay. The website also shows where 28 bears were hit by cars in 2016. Some of them were killed. With the collars, park rangers and wildlife scientists can keep track of the bears within the park. They can also learn some new things. For example, bear experts were surprised to learn that the bears begin mating in May. That is over 1 month sooner than they thought. They also found that the bears can travel up to 48 kilometers per day, and that includes climbing up steep mountains. The collars allow park rangers to know if bears are getting too close to campgrounds. The rangers want to keep both the bears and the humans safe. The Yosemite Conservancy spent almost $300,000 on the mapping project. Frank Dean is the president of the Conservancy. He says the new information about the bears should keep them safer. People love to see the bears, he said. Protecting them is something we can all do. Jesse Garcia studies black bears for the state of California. He says visitors to the park need to understand that they are in the bear's home. You've got to give them their distance and always be aware, knowing that they're there, he said. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedell.
The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, is working with teachers and schools to reform education through data. The OECD is over 50 years old and has 35 member countries, including the United States. Its aim is to support policies that will improve the economic and social well-being of people worldwide. The OECD's Program for International Student Assessment, or PISA, is the largest international study of 15-year-old students. More than 500,000 students from 72 countries took the test in 2016. They answered questions involving three subjects: science, reading, and mathematics. The PISA results are informative, but do not always lead to improvements in the classroom. The OECD hopes to change that through a program it calls PISA for You. It hopes the program will connect teachers in different areas and lead to exchanges of what it considers relevant best practices. Holm Keller is heading the PISA for You initiative. He says the reasons for differences between high schools is something that teachers are best positioned to explain.
PISA for You is aimed at empowering teachers to do what they can to substantially improve teaching outcomes in their expertise, Keller said. There is a lot of potential for innovation in the teaching community, but it is not always easily shared. Through PISA for You, the OECD hopes to share information about what makes some schools perform better than others. The initiative has two parts. The first is an online program where teachers work in groups to create resources related to their area of specialization. These online and other resources are then shared with the 4,000 teachers involved in PISA for You. The teachers are asked to study and rate the information. Afterwards, the final version of the resources will be shared online to a larger community of teachers for free. Another goal of PISA for You is to study successful education models around the world. One such model, the only one being studied in the United States, is the BASIS school system. It is a group of independent and charter schools that have a record of high student performance.
BASIS schools have received a lot of recognition for their successes. In 2016, U.S. News and World Report magazine rated two BASIS schools in Arizona as the number 2 and 3 best high school in the country. The same two schools, plus another in Oro Valley, Arizona, were named as the top 3 U.S. charter schools. While BASIS schools do have a history of success, another reason for studying them is their method of using data to inform teachers. The BASIS schools direct their programs with data from an electronic learning platform called the BASIS Educational Link and Assessment, or BELA. Mark Refford is the Chief Business Development and Brand Officer for Basis. In his opinion, the simplest way to describe Bella is crowdsourcing curricular innovation.
At Basis schools, teachers never have a set curriculum or program of study. Instead, they are given goals of what subjects they need to present to students during the school year. Teachers put all the information about their classes, such as homework, study guides, or education goals, into the Bella database. With this information, school administrators are able to see teachers' progress, which teachers have been successful, and what interesting things they are doing with their classes. That way, the administrators are able to share the information with other teachers and schools. Bella is not the only unusual thing about the Basis schools. According to Sean Aiken, head of school for the Basis Independent School in McLean, Virginia, the schools have a one-of-a-kind model for teachers.
At the Basis schools, students do not have homeroom teachers, but instead have separate teachers for each subject. Instead of using teachers who are considered generalists, the schools offer teaching positions to experts in the subject they are teaching. The idea is that whoever is teaching middle school biology should be an expert in biology.
Basis schools are said to support a culture of education. School days are longer, and there are less breaks than at U.S. public schools. Advanced placement, or AP, tests are first taken in 8th or 9th grade. Schoolwork is also considered more important than sports or other extracurricular activities. However, Aiken says the main goal is to regain control of how students use their time. Although difficult at times, the Basis model appears to be working for some students. According to Saeed Akhtar, an 11th grade student at the Basis School in McLean, the biggest difference between his and other schools was the rigor.
I think the level of academic rigor at Basis is much higher than other schools in the area. I spent about 6 years in another school in the area, and it was kind of like a country club. I think at Basis, they have a much more serious approach to academics, and they are functioning just at a higher level overall in terms of their curriculum, Akhtar said. Basis schools are different, but it is their custom of using data to improve teaching that makes the schools a model of what PISA4U hopes to achieve. By sharing information, the hope is that eventually teachers around the world will have use of information on what really makes a school successful. I'm Phil Dierking.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
I'm Katie Weaver. That's all the time we have for today, but we'll be back tomorrow with another Learning English program on the Voice of America.